We had the dinner and auction. All of our fall sports are off and running with cross country starting, but it feels like we're finally back with our First Lions Athletic Club luncheon down here at Mugshots. Thank you all for coming out. We'll open up this show with football. We'll bring up head coach Brent Dierman, and he's got a player with him as well, field goal kicker Ian Vashem. So we'll get things started off with him. Ian kicked two field goals this past weekend against Western Kentucky. He's got a great story, and we'll talk about that here today. We welcome up head football coach Brent Dierman. They fell on the road to Western Kentucky. We'll head on the road up to Cape Girardeau again this weekend. Everybody thinks Missouri, it's going to be a long ride. It's only about 4.5 hours, maybe a little longer on bus. Soccer just did it, so Chris Walker gave me the scouting report earlier. Coach, thanks for stopping by. I know you've been watching film all night and all day so far, but give us just your final thoughts from the Western Kentucky game last week.
You know, you've got to look at a game like that, and you got to assess. You got to look in the mirror and assess the things that you did well and the things that you got to get better at. And stepping back and looking at it, we had multiple drives where we probably had 40, 50 yards a drive. The first two drives of the ball game, we drive the length of the field. Would like to put it into the end zone. We had an offensive pick call, offensive pass interference call that kind of negated that third down where we picked it up and had a chance to score a touchdown down there. But then the third drive of the game, I think we had momentum and got a holding call and a receiver that really backed us up into first and 20, and that kind of killed that drive. The very next drive, I think we're getting a couple first downs, and we get a fumbled exchange between Ari and Juice. That puts us into second and 15, and that makes it that drive hard to come back from. And then you blink, and we weren't stopping them, their offense. So you look up, and the scores kind of got out of hand at that moment in time, where offensively I don't think that they ever truly just slowed us down. We had a couple of things that killed our own drives, and then we came out of half, and I thought we sustained some drives after halftime as well. So our rush yards gain, like we talked about on Monday, we almost had 200 yards of gained rushing yards against an FBS opponent, and that's been something that we've struggled with since I got here is the running game. So that was a positive. We got to get our passing game going. We were too inconsistent at quarterback. We got to get more completions. We got to put the ball where our big receivers can go make plays on them. And then defensively, I think we played a lot of off coverage, and they were able to hit a lot of low passes and get a lot of run after catches. But that would be the best quarterback and receiving core we probably see all year long. So I thought our defensive line played really well to hold their offense to under a certain amount of rushing yards. I thought we created push up front. So there are positive things on both of those sides. And then the kicking game, we had a muff punt that really killed that three and out momentum that our defense started the game with, and gave them the ball in the red zone, scored their first touchdown. Outside of that, and me calling a dumb fake punt to try to get us some momentum back, I thought special teams played really well, and Ian is the highlight of the special teams plays.
Yeah, let's just go right into that, Coach. Your post-game interview, you talked a lot about some of those positives. You already touched on some of them. The zero turnovers when we were on offense and moving the ball in those first two possessions, the three and out early on. But Ian was also a very good bright spot. 47-yard field goal. It was the longest since 2019 by a UNA kicker over 6 years ago. Talk about his impact already going through fall camp and in that game.
You know, you look at kickers, and the thing you worry about with a kicker is he ready for that moment? Throwing a guy out there in an FBS game with a 47-yarder, you worry about your new kicker. But for this guy, I mean, he kicked in front of 85,000 at Jordan-Hare Stadium last year to beat Texas A&M. Kicked multiple field goals against Alabama. So the moment wasn't too big for him, and he kind of carries himself that way a little bit. I rag him. When he gets done field goal kicking, he puts a cap on every day, takes his pads off, and just hangs out, plays flag football, I think, on the sideline. But just he stays even keel. Nothing gets to him. Nothing bothers him, and that's what makes him the kicker that he is.
Ian, let's jump over to you. You've had quite the journey to North Alabama. Madison Academy, right? Played for Bob Gotze. Go down to Birmingham Southern. They closed the doors there. Take us from high school to Birmingham Southern. How your journey brought you to North Alabama?
Yeah, I think
Oh, wait. Flip the switch on for me there. There you go. Now we got you.
There we go. I think my journey is definitely one of a kind. Wasn't really highly recruited in high school. Go D3, Birmingham Southern out of high school. Stay there 2 years, and in April, I guess, 24, they close. So I go to work, and I'm working for a roofing company, and then get a call in July. And, you know, you never really think you're going to get a call to go to Auburn. So next week, I was down in Auburn starting fall camp. Start of the season, didn't really think I was going to play. Then I got Alex McPherson got healthy again, so I got moved down to third on the depth chart. And then he got sick again, so I moved back up to two. And then the final three games I get to play in some big games, Texas A&M, and then the Iron Bowl, which is pretty big. Kind of a dream of mine. I always grew up going to Bryant-Denny, so getting to play on that field was pretty special to me. And then lose a job in spring, hit the portal, kind of weighing my options. Really was waiting on Coach Dierman to call me or Coach Roth. So right when they called me, I committed the next day and then told them I was coming.
I give you another story that I shared a little bit on Monday night, but a lot of people in here will know. So Cooper Lovett was a student assistant for us, and Cooper's dad helped coach over at Madison Academy. Cooper started bringing us his name for years. So he was standing on the table for him already. And then his special teams coordinator is Chad Lunsford. Me and Chad were at FAU together, so when he hit the portal, Chad called me immediately and said, hey, I got a guy for you. And whatever was going on that week, I think we were worried about filling D-line spots, not the kicker spot at that moment in time. So then probably a week goes by, and I get a phone call from Steve Pierce. And Steve Pierce says, I got a kicker for you. I don't know how the connection with Steve Pierce was, but we can all thank Steve Pierce that he is here today.
You know, when you get that call, that it means it's going to be special. So, Ian, we're glad that your path brought you here to UNA. I know you said you grew up knowing about UNA, wanting to be at UNA at some point, and now full circle you're here. I want to go back to the game against Western Kentucky. That first field goal was a short one, a 25-yarder. Second one was a little longer, and you would think there'd be more pressure on that one. But I want to ask you, which one kind of brought more pressure? Was it the first one or was it the longer one?
Those first ones to open the game, and especially when they're that close and then on the hash too, those are pretty difficult kicks. But, I mean, it's just trusting your process, and I hope I hit every ball straight, and that's what I try to do every time. And I got a coach that believes in me to put me out on any spot, so that helps a lot, just walking out there knowing that he's got my back.
Failed to introduce him as the Netflix star. In the SEC documentary, you can see his field goal against Texas A&M. Pressure. How do you handle pressure when you're walking out there to kick kicks?
Yeah, I think it's just going through my routine every time, and then I think it stems back to having the teammates behind me and my coaches always believe in me. And I think that came a lot from last year. I was really, when I left Birmingham Southern, I really did not enjoy playing football. But Alex McPherson, really, he was kind of the catalyst last year. He kind of, when I started playing, he was always making sure, talking to me, telling me what he does to help me out. But I think my teammates and my coaches helped me out a lot with just giving me confidence, knowing that they believe in me, and that and I've got confidence in myself. I know when the lights are on and the chips are down and my team needs me, I know I'm going to go out there and perform.
Coach, you got a Madison Academy guy sitting right beside you. The big emphasis over the last 2 years on the state of Alabama and how great high school football is in the state. A lot of people would put them in the top five, if not the top 10. You know, talk about that emphasis, because last year we had 73 players from in-state. This year we have 77. And then if you go to the bordering states, that's 22 more players, so 99 players on the football roster from this region or from the state of Alabama.
And let me just add one thing. Western Kentucky only had 15 kids from the state of Kentucky last week, so that really shows you the emphasis Coach Dierman's put on in-state people.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a big difference between high school football in the state of Alabama and the state of Kentucky. So I wouldn't want to probably recruit the state of Kentucky if I was in Kentucky. No shots, hopefully, for any Kentucky folks in the room. But we just live, we reside in a very talent-rich state of football. I mean, you said it's top five, top 10 in the country for high school football, the talent that this state produces. I mean, there's SEC teams, there's Big 12 teams from all over the country that come down to Alabama to recruit talent. So I think it's a big deal to us, too. When you wear that North Alabama jersey, when you wear that North Alabama logo, when you grew up in this area, it just means more to you. You look at this guy's a perfect example of it. It means something to put on that North Alabama jersey. And if we want to get back to that pride, we want to get back to that purple swarm, we want to get back to the winning traditions, the championship traditions, it's going to be established on the backs of guys that care about this place a little bit more than just a regular person would. I'm going to give him another shout out. That the two field goals are fantastic, but the other stat that we don't always give him credit for, we kicked off three times and he put all three of them in the back of the end zone, so we didn't have to cover any kickoffs.
Big time indeed. All right, Coach, SEMO, the opponent, they're in the Ohio Valley Conference / Big South Football Alliance. They won it last year, won a share, made the playoffs, picked pretty highly yet again. A lot of new faces as well, but give us the rundown on SEMO and what you expect on Saturday.
You know, you go back a year ago, just over a year ago, we're playing SEMO in Montgomery. I think it was 115 on the field that night. But I was watching it again yesterday. There was 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and we were still up 15-13. And we started making mistakes. We had a fumble. We had an interception where the guy takes the ball away from Dakota Warfield in the red zone. So two big swings between a pick and that fumble leads to two touchdowns real fast, and that game gets out of hand a little bit there at the end. But we were right there with them last year, had an opportunity to beat them, and that's been our biggest emphasis this year is we got to play 60 minutes of football. They have lost a lot of that team. Their quarterback was an extremely talented player last year. I think he threw 82 passes in their playoff game against Illinois State. But they're still a really good football team. Their head coach has done a fantastic job. I think he's been there 11 years, done a great job of building a FCS playoff contending team every year. And this team's a pretty good team as well. So we got to be ready to play.
And then not to get too far ahead because you got a big one this weekend, but first home game the week after. So we won't meet next week, but when we come back, it'll be off of that home win. And final year at Brawley, and I know you guys will be excited after two road games to be home.
Yeah, absolutely. When you get to sleep in your own bed on Friday night, it's just a little bit different. When you get get to the stadium and you see so many people wearing purple and gold, it just means a little bit more to play in front of your home crowd. It's easier on your body. It's easier on your mind. So there's so many positives to come back home, but the historic last season at Brawley Stadium is just going to be special. And to get to open it the way that we do, I'm really excited about this week, but then just as excited about the next week for playing at home.
We're fired up as well. We'll be up there with you on Saturday, Coach. Can't wait to see everybody at home at Brawley. And, Ian, we're excited to see you this weekend, but we can't wait to see you kick inside of Brawley. It'll be a long time coming. Thank you for stopping by.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach Dearman. I'll grab that headset, Coach. We'll bring up soccer next. Chris Walker, come on up. And he's got a player, Madison Vukas. Madison is a newcomer, a transfer. She's the starting goalkeeper. She leads the Atlantic Sun in two categories. One, Coach Walker's very excited about. One, he'd like to see maybe not so much. We'll talk about that. She leads the league in shutouts with three, leads the league in saves. And she's fifth in the nation in total saves, eighth in the nation in shutouts. So she's had a big boost right out of the gate for this team. And Coach Walker, just start off talking about Madison and what she has brought in net this year for you.
No, she's been great. Obviously, it's nice to have her here. I can talk nice about her because she sat right here as well. But no, she's brought a lot of leadership and experience to our back line. Obviously, the goalkeeping position has been competitive between the three that we've got. But no, she's been great. Obviously, it's nice to get a few shutouts and a few big saves. I like that she's high up on the shutout list, but I don't like that she's high up on the saves list. We'd rather her be off that list completely. If she doesn't make any saves and we don't give up any goals, that's great as well. But she's done a great job so far, and we'll keep going.
And let's just start with Troy on Thursday at home. What a great game that was. Very competitive both ways, but Madison did her job in goal and conceded that one in the first half, but after that, a shutout in the second half, and we got two goals on the board. Alice got her first, so talk about that a little bit and how big that win was.
No, it's been fantastic. We've played five games and conceded two goals, so yeah. Which is great. We've got a new back line with some new faces mixed in there as well, so it's something we focused on, and we don't get the pleasure of having summer practice. We're not in June and July. We come in August and hope for the best for 2 weeks to really get prepared and good, so we're really excited about the fact we've only conceded two goals in the first five games. So we hit the ground running. Defensively, we were very strong. And then obviously the goals started coming as well. So it's been great. And then against Troy, it was a great result. It was nice to see the work rate and the fight from the girls going a goal down and then willingness to come back and score two goals and, you know, shut them out and finish off with a win.
Madison, we appreciate you coming by, getting some lunch and chatting with us. And let's start with this. Why North Alabama? When you go in the portal, what stood out about UNA?
I think for me...
Yeah, flip that switch for me. There we go.
I think for me, it was my visit that kind of did it. I have transferred twice, so I've kind of seen a lot of things in my time. And talking to the staff over the phone kind of really sold me. And I was like, all right, hop on a flight and kind of see what it's like being a little further down south for me. And then got here, got to meet a bunch of the girls, the staff and everything. And honestly, I just really enjoyed my time. And it was kind of hard to leave. So I kind of knew it was going to be a home away from home. And the goals and everything that they talk about, like, line up with how I see things. So it was just really refreshing, and it kind of just sold it for me.
Yeah, and just to elaborate a little further on that, talk about the culture with these girls, the teammates that you have. I mean, it just seems like everybody has gotten so connected early on. You got girls like Molly that have been in the program a long time, Alice. Just talk about what it's been like for you coming in as a newcomer and gelling with them so quickly.
Yeah, so at first it was definitely a little nerve-wracking being a newcomer, but also being a fifth year. So it's, you're not a freshman coming in brand new, but you're still new. But our team does a really great job at bringing everybody in and making it feel like a family and, like, getting to know each other, the bonding on and off the field right away. So it really just felt like a family. It kind of clicked really well. And, yeah, Molly and Alice have both been great with that as well. They were on my visit, actually, so I got to meet them when I came here the first time, so that also helped a little bit whenever I came back in January and saw everybody.
So
she's also Alice's roommate, so she didn't have a choice. She gets
go.
To deal with her and deal with Alice's moaning and complaining for being the grandma of the team, so they both get along really well.
That's perfect, because I was going to get both of you to talk about Alice Bussey for just 1 second. Alice Bussey, great story. Fifth year last year, right, and she tears her ACL in not even preseason camp. Before she gets here to preseason, she tears it, misses the year. She was on the soccer Heisman watch list essentially last year, so high expectations, heartbreaking situation for her. Sorry. These walls are not friendly today. It's Chris,
yeah.
So Alice tears her ACL, comes back this year, makes the decision. Mike said earlier that Alice's announcement to come back was one of our most engaged posts on social media last year. But she got the first goal of the year, got us going against Troy. Just,
yeah.
What was the emotion of that for her and the whole team?
Well, I think she broke down crying, obviously. Tears in her eyes. She was, like, so excited. I think it's more of a relief. We know she can do it. I think she knows she can do it, but it was just realizing that she's gone through 12 months of just ups and downs and being able to get back and finish off. And, you know, it was a nice little finish, work, team goal. She's tapped it in, but it was just the confidence and the relief that gives her to then go on and, you know, be herself. And then we saw her playing herself at SEMO this past weekend, and she was first on the score sheet again there and then got another assist, and it's starting to link up, and it's just released her to play.
And Madison, from your perspective, being her roommate, what does she bring to this team?
She, first of all, is all around a great person, and I'm not just saying that, like, as she's my roommate and team and everything, but she was my host on my visit, so I got to meet her the first time around as well. And then we've gotten really close over our time, which is really nice because we share the same goal of wanting to play after. So first seeing her score the goal was amazing as a roommate, because there's obviously been a lot of talk in the apartment about, like, things coming together and the defensive side, the offensive side, and we're both on both ends, so jokes back and forth. So seeing that was amazing. And then, yeah, I would just say overall she's a really great leader and leads by example, so I feel like that goal was also, like, another little boost of that, because we know she can do it, we all believe that she can do it, and it just was, like, the proof that was kind of needed to top it off.
And of course she's humble about it, but it was really good to see her get ASUN Player of the Week yesterday. And Coach, we'll go back to you a little bit, talking about this four-game unbeaten streak you're on right now. As you guys, like you said, only two goals allowed in the first five games. And believe it or not, we've only got four more non-conference games to go. This season is flying by.
Yeah, it does. We try and put together the non-conference schedule to somewhat mirror the ASUN stuff, so it gets us ready and prepared for obviously when the games really matter when we get into ASUN play. So, yeah, we got Alabama State tomorrow night, and then we go and play a tough UTC team this weekend as well. So it's two tough games coming up, but we're proud of the way we've got going so far. We've introduced 17 new players to the team this year. So just getting that to gel in 2 weeks is a lot to do. So whether it's on the field, off the field, but we're really proud of how they've started, and hopefully we can keep it going.
All right, Coach. Thursday, Alabama yep. State. You go on the road Sunday against Chattanooga. But one, we want a big turnout Thursday. Coach Walker's at 99 career wins at UNA, so we're hoping to get him 100 on Thursday. I know he doesn't want to talk about that. We'll talk about that next time, Coach. But what's the outlook with Alabama State?
No, I mean, obviously it'll be a tough game. Obviously, every game, you never know. I mean, as long as we play the way we play, we'll give them a good run for the money, and you know we'll set up well to come out there and score a few goals and make it entertaining. The crowd last Thursday was fantastic. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on in town with obviously a few football games that were happening. But the fact that we got the community and the students out there and still had a great crowd last Thursday was fantastic. And it truly does make a huge difference to any of the sporting events. The more students, the more the community that come out, it makes a big difference in driving us forward.
I do want to mention one more fun fact I totally forgot. This Alabama State game, it's got some more meaning as well. If anybody remembers 2018, that was the very first win as a Division I team in any sport. Relive that a little bit if you remember it.
No, it was great. Obviously, at the time, it was, oh, you get chance to get the first Division I win ever. And I was like, yeah, we also get the chance to be the first ever Division I loss. So I'm sat there, and it's a game we should have won. But we kick off, and it's the most nervous 5 minutes I've ever probably coached, because it's like, okay, this everyone's going to remember the game. And we score a couple of goals early, and then we can relax. And we went 4-0 up, and then there was a lightning delay, which made it even worse. And eventually the game finishes 4-1, and we get that result. But it's one to look back on, and it's one that will be remembered within the program, and selfishly ourselves being able to do that as well. And obviously, hopefully we can get another one tomorrow.
I remember the 45-minute lightning delay. I remember the excitement, an unbelievable turnout. I remember sitting in your office before the game, and we were saying, who's going to get the first goal of the season? And at that time, you had from Auburn, Alabama,
Shelby Wall,
who was a great goal scorer, all-conference player when she was here. But do you remember who got the first goal?
I do,
and
yes.
I don't think any of us guessed it.
No, it was Haley Yarber who got it. It was a defender, center-back, and she actually played for me for years growing up as a kid. She went to high school and played for my wife, and then it was a nice, obviously selfish one that I'll never forget, that she got the score sheet, but it was also one that no one would have ever picked as well. So it was a nice one.
It's certainly a memorable one. And we know Thursday will be memorable as well. Thank you both for stopping by. Madison, welcome to UNA, and thanks for chatting with us.
Thank you.
Let's talk some UNA volleyball next. I think I figured out some of the feedback, so hopefully we're good there. Volleyball had a great start over at Mississippi State. Beat SEMO in Grambling State, lost to the host Bulldogs out of the SEC. Had a tough one last night against Alabama A&M. They're back on the road this weekend, Blazer Invitational. They'll see Tennessee Tech, USC Upstate, then Saturday UAB. And the next week it really picks up for volleyball in the sense that it's their first home game of the year, Tuesday with Samford coming to town. And then next weekend, the UNA Volleyball Classic with Western Carolina on Friday night, and then the big Bama Bash against Alabama on Sunday at 2 p.m. So, Ben Bond, what are we up to with tickets? 700-800 yet? Over 600. We're going to round up and call it 700. But it's looking really good. Bring some friends. We want to pack out CBNS Bank Arena. So, Tristan Johnson, big weekend for you guys. Take us through your thoughts from the Mississippi State Classic.
Yeah, I started off really well. You know, the first set of the year that we had, we won 25-6 against Grambling, and five of their 6 points were our errors. So they only scored 1 point for themselves in that very first set. So we came out of the gates really hot, and I thought that obviously would set the tone. You know, at that tournament, we had to play back-to-back. We played Grambling, and then the very next match, we played SEMO. Who won the OVC last year and are picked to win it again this year, and we ended up coming up with a win there. Had the chance to sweep them, ended up winning in four. Thought that was a really good momentum for us and a good sign of what we were capable of in terms of being physically tired and still being able to pull out a win against what I consider to be one of the best teams in the OVC. And then the Mississippi State match on Sunday, you know, when you beat Alabama last year, you get a little bit I don't even know what the right word would be, but I guess, I don't know. You always think you can get into there and get those, and you always can, but, you know, playing them, you know, I think they were really prepared for us, and, you know, they played three matches over 3 days. We played three matches in 2 days, so they had a little more rest, but, you know, came out strong in the first set, really liked where we were competitively, and then, you know, just felt just felt we fell off a little bit after that. But a really good weekend all in all. I mean, you know, we've been battling a really interesting preseason of practices and battling the injury bug a little bit. Reese Ricketts, our freshman of the year last year, only practiced for 3 days. And so for us to go into that tournament and be able to do that, we had two kids with hand, foot, and mouth for about 10 days during our two-week preseason. So we were playing in gloves and wearing masks, and you thought we were with COVID again. But so, you know, battling through a little bit of that adversity and then coming out 2-1, I felt like we handled that pretty well.
Back on Mississippi State, the word you might have been looking for, were you thinking, like, confidence that you kind of belong in a game like that?
Yeah, and, I mean, that's the mindset we want to have in all of our matches. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you sweep Alabama on the road last year, and you do carry a little bit of that confidence with you into that match, which, again, is a good thing. But every team is different. Every year is a new year. And so, you know, I think the good thing is it'll prepare us for when we get to play Alabama again in a few weeks, just to understand – the level that it takes to compete against a team that good.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the roster. I mean, we know names like Reese Ricketts. We know what all she did last year as a freshman. You got Nicole Sargent still in the program, Olivia Finoff, a lot of names like that. Kendall Barnes really emerged last night against A&M. 21 kills, had a 33% attack percentage. Talk about her impact as a junior.
Yeah, I mean, Kendall's a phenomenal human. You know, I talked a little bit more with Ben this morning, but, you know, Kendall came to us from Ball State. She was a kid that I had recruited when I was at Southern Illinois. She's from Memphis, Tennessee. She went to Briarcrest High School, for anyone familiar with Memphis, which is a phenomenal high school. If you've ever seen the movie The Blind Side, that's the high school that The Blind Side is at, is Briarcrest. But just a phenomenal kid, great family. Really works her tail off and is a kid that I think has the potential to do some really special things for us. And so, you know, just coming from a program like Ball State, she's played in the postseason before. Actually, I didn't know this until we first started. So Kayla Henley, one of my new assistants, played at Middle Tennessee, and she played against Kendall's freshman year in the NIVC, and I believe Kendall broke her finger while they were playing, and Ball State ended up beating Middle Tennessee at Middle Tennessee in the first round of the NIVC. So kind of a fun full circle moment there for the two of them. But, you know, just her experience having played at a high level and what I think she can bring to us here, and just such a mature kid. You know, for a young team last year, we had 8 freshmen. You know, a lot of those kids are back, plus new freshmen. So to bring a kid in that has that level of experience, hopefully is going to bode well for us in the long run.
And with that experience that you brought in, you take a deeper dive into this roster, and you got Reese Ricketts, freshman of the year. She's a sophomore this year. Some other key players were freshmen last year, sophomores. You lost to Jasmine Brooks, who was a veteran transferred in from Tennessee. So was that kind of an emphasis for you with the young core coming up to go out and get some older pieces as well?
Yeah, just a little more experience. You know, the 4 transfers we brought in, you know, one was Kendall, who played at Ball State and had a tremendous first 2 seasons there. One was Yolana Smidlova, who played at the University of Tulsa for 3 years. Ava Martindale, who was a libero at UTEP, who her freshman year, they went to the NIVC. Her sophomore year, they were an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. And then Jesse Richhart, who last year was a JUCO national champion. Her team went 40-0, and she was a starting libero for that team. So all 4 of those kids have postseason experience, have played at a high level, have won at a high level. And so just bringing in, you know, kids that have that experience of playing in December, and playing at a high level and winning, that was what I really wanted. And then balancing that out with our 4 freshmen that we have, you know, bringing those players. I mean, that's still 8 new players, but 4 of them have some really good experience.
Let's look ahead a little bit. I know we've got the home matches coming up September 9th, 12th, and 14th. We talked about the Alabama one a little bit already, but let's look ahead to your next this coming weekend, Blazer Invitational. You got Tennessee Tech, USC Upstate, and UAB. Seems like 3 very competitive opponents for us.
Yeah, you know, that was kind of the hope whenever we built the schedule was, you know, first weekend was it stair-stepped its way into better and better competition from Grambling to SEMO to Mississippi State. Again, fell last night to a match that I felt we should have had. And then, you know, going into this weekend, really preparing us for 3 matches that should all 3 be pretty competitive. You know, Tennessee Tech is a solid OVC team. They had 2 kids that were, you know, in the Player of the Week last week in the OVC, and then USC Upstate's a team that I think is progressively getting better and better and better. They also had a good week last week, and then UAB, you know, is UAB, right? So, you know, it should be a good opportunity for us to compete again against 3 solid teams, but 3 teams that I think we're capable of going and getting if we can do what we're supposed to do. What we're supposed to do.
Let's take a look ahead of the look ahead to next week. No, we'll build on to next week where you've got a lot going on. Samford at home on Tuesday, the home opener. Then we mentioned Western Carolina and Alabama as part of the UNA Volleyball Classic. So take us ahead of the weekend and tell us about everything going on next week.
Yeah, so we've got, like you said, we've got Samford on the 9th. You know, should be another great match. You know, I think that's a great – to me, it's a great rivalry for us at UNA, I think for me at least, because they have a very good volleyball program. They routinely win their league, and, you know, if you remember last year, the men's basketball game, that's the only game that our guys dropped, and it was in overtime, and it was what a phenomenal atmosphere that was to be a part of. And so just really excited about the chance to compete against them in our gym. And then you move forward to Western Carolina on Friday. You've got football playing their first home game on Saturday, and then you've obviously got the Alabama match on Sunday that we're obviously really excited about getting Alabama here. You know, I've said this a few times, but, you know, really playing off of what Coach Cozart's done with softball and trying to just build that up and get those SEC teams into our gym. And, you know, I just think it just adds to the legitimacy of what we're trying to build here and to show that we're capable of getting SEC opponents to come to Florence and play us in our home arena is something that we're really excited for. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's a busy week. You know, we played three matches in 2 days, Saturday, Sunday. We had Labor Day on Monday, and then we played again on Tuesday. We travel tomorrow. Today's our off day. We travel tomorrow. We play two on Friday, one on Saturday, off day Sunday. Practice Monday, Samford Tuesday, and then the week rolls into Friday, Sunday. So, you know, a busy time of year for us, but it's what we signed up for. So really, really eager to get back to the bank. Hopeful that we can pack the bank. That's the goal. I think, like Ben said, we've got just over 600 tickets already sold, and those are all pre-sale tickets. We've got a bunch of local high schools and local rec league teams, and we're also doing an autograph session after the game. So if you've got any people that would like to do autographs after the game, we're doing that after the Alabama match on the 14th, and it's also our alumni night. So just really, really excited about getting the alumni back. We've had quite a few of them reach out about being able to come back to the game, and so just should be a great day.
Last thing for you, volleyball is growing like crazy nationally. Nebraska last year played the big attendance-breaking game in the football stadium. I think Vandy played an outdoor game on campus this weekend, and now you've got Alabama coming in, and the program, that's just got to fire the team up knowing they're going to get to take part in kind of a marquee volleyball event.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, when I got here 3 years ago, you know, or this is season four, so technically four seasons ago, you know, it was something to really get people in the lower bowl. You know, I remember when I first got here, they were like, okay, well, for seating, we usually do this, the upstairs and the downstairs. And I was like, no, we need to put as many people in the bottom as we can to get them as close to the action as possible. And now there's a chance we're going to – not only are we've already pre-sold enough to fill the whole bottom, but now we're going to put, you know, hopefully fill the top. And so, you know, to see where it's been to where it's going, I think it's really exciting for the team and for the program. It shows the growth. It shows the competitive level. And, you know, it's something that I think we're hoping we can continue to keep doing. And, you know, hopefully maybe in the future with Dr. Looney's help, we can get a game at Bank Independence Stadium. So we'll see how that goes. We're working on that, and hopefully that's something we can do in the future.
We like to push the envelope. Thank you very much, Coach Johnson, and good luck this week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll wrap things up with cross country. Come on up, Connor Callahan. And it's a huge stretch coming up for Coach Callahan. Not only is cross country – what did we say earlier? Getting in the start box. They're getting ready to kick it off. We've been trying to figure out the starting line for cross country. They start up Friday. They fire it up. But his wife is due any day now with their first child. So he's anxiously awaiting the start of the season and anxiously awaiting the birth of his first child. So how are you feeling right now?
Excited. Excited. Not as stressed as I was last year, I would say. Last year was like, oh, my, it's first race. We got to do this. This year a little bit more relaxed, but a lot going on, like you said. The baby on the way. Who knows when my wife's going to text or call and say, let's head to the hospital, but we'll figure it out.
And what happens if that's mid-race on Friday?
Oh, man, I haven't even thought about mid-race.
I'm just going to knock on wood that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'd have to be out of there right away. Bonzel, you're going.
Bonzel's
you're
in
on.
Charge.
You're on.
Coach Phillips can give you some advice. He had his child in the middle of a tournament as well. So, he wasn't there. He had a great assistant. So, Noah, be ready. And with that, introduce us to your new assistant.
Yeah, so we got Noah Bonzel here back for, you know, on the coaching side. But he's been here for 4 years, so he's seen three different coaches, including myself, and he's here to, you know, be another coach for UNA, and, you know, we're excited to have him around. He's from Scottsboro, Alabama, so he knows the area. He knows Alabama. He's excited to be at UNA. He wants to be at UNA. It's a special spot to be. So Noah will be with us for, you know, the next two seasons.
So glad you're here, Noah, and you've been in the program a long time. Coach Callahan, second year, a lot to be excited about, but I want to go back to the UNA Invitational last year and just how special it was, the community support. By the way, it's a free event, so if you get a chance, come out Friday. The men start at 7:45, the women at 8:30. But to see the baseball team lined up near the finish line, to see just everybody from the community trying to get from place to place to get to the checkpoints, how special was that for you?
It's amazing. It just shows you the support that we have here. It's a special place to be that you don't get that kind of support when the community, without the community. It's one that the community here is what makes this place what it is. And that's not just, you know, people from outside the community in Florence and Muscle Shoals. That's, you know, here on campus as well. The teams, the camaraderie we have, we are so lucky to have a support system throughout that really gets out there because, you know, you go other places and the cross country team is the cross country team. And that's not how it is here. And I love that about this place is you all care tremendously about us and the athletes help each other out and they support each other. And that's what makes UNA what it is.
Highlight of the men's team. You got the defending ASUN champion back, right? I mean, what's the expectation in year two?
Yeah, it's pressure's a privilege. You know, you hear that so often and, you know, we talk about expectations a little bit earlier today and just know that everyone's coming for you now. It's one that you've got the target on your back and you have to go out there and perform every week because if you're a competitor, you're just waiting for that one slip, that one, I can make a move in this part of the race. I can do these kind of things. So making sure that we're doing enough and, you know, if you did what you did last year, it's not going to be enough because everyone got better and you have to get better. So the expectation is to go out there and try to defend a title. That's really what the expectation is. We don't settle for, you know, lowering the expectations because we did it once. We can go out there and do it again. And how many times can you do it? Can you do it more than once? Can you be great?
I just got goosebumps hearing that. I mean, I believe it's going to happen. So a lot of retention on the men's side and the women's side. So graduations as the graduation rate is also very high in your program. Talk about a couple of newcomers, MTSU. You got Sandra on the women's side. You got Sammy on the men's side. How excited are you about those additions?
Yeah, I love to point out Sandra. I think, you know, that's one that I'm hoping that if you guys are out here this weekend, you'll see something special. It's one that we're going to see somebody that I personally believe whether it's tomorrow or Friday or later on this season, we'll probably set the school record and we'll have another highest finish we've ever had in school history. She was 18th at regionals last year for MTSU. That's the same region we're in. She was beat by one girl from Lipscomb last year at the regional meet. So if you're picking up what I'm throwing down, I'd like to believe there's a chance that we can, you know, maybe get going again this year on the women's side. And then, you know, if we do it first, hopefully Sandra can, and hopefully that soccer does it. I don't know when their tournament is, but maybe soccer does it right after us or they do it right before us, and it's just the same chain reaction that we saw on the men's side last year, and bam, we see it all. We see volleyball. We see all these teams start to win some titles on the women's side too.
Starts Friday, McFarland Park, 7:45 a.m. for the men. The women follow at 8:30, I believe.
Yep.
What do we need to know?
You don't have to run to every single spot. If you see the start, go from the start and then just veer off to the left. They're going to come by one more time and then maybe a slight jog, come over to the right, and you can see them three times within the first mile. From there, if you don't want to run around and look crazy, just go to the finish line and you might see them, you know, one more time. But you can see them quite a bit from that first part. Like, you really don't have to run. I wouldn't bring a chair because it goes pretty quick, but you don't have to run around. Just let me do that. Let the coaches and the crazy people do that. But you can see a lot from just standing.
And now we're all set for baby number one.
I think so. Every time I think we are, my wife orders something else, and it never ends, I guess. But the room's ready. Bags are ready. pick up the bag, and we're heading to the hospital whenever that comes.
We're excited for you. We got a lot of young kids running around the department, so we're all there to help you out. Coach Callahan, it begins on Friday. Best of luck this year, and we're looking forward to some more championships.
Thank you. Royal Lions.
Thank you to all of our coaches for coming out. Thank you to each and every one of you. We'll be off next week, and we'll be back the following Wednesday for another meeting. So everybody go out, invite somebody, bring a friend, and hopefully we're talking about some more W's over the next couple of weeks. Thank you all very much, and Roar Lions.